So I've been trying to get you on Winners Wednesday for a while. I think you're probably one of the best winners that we've had because you're killing it, making six figures in property.
Yeah, doing well.
Full time, but also super, super knowledgeable. You've obviously been through the training,
yes.
But you've got a background in property.
Definitely.
And the disclaimer is that we did not meet through training. You're actually family.
Yeah, 100%.
So you're my brother-in-law. So why don't you just kind of give a little bit of a lowdown? Because I know you are strategically low-key.
I'm very low-key.
We do a lot of business together, but you hide away from the cameras.
Definitely.
So what are you kind of like doing? What's the background? What's your story?
Yeah, so basically the reason for the low-keyness, I suppose, is we do a lot of deals and look at different opportunities with multiple agents and multiple investors. So a lot of the times, depending on what type of deal it is, you kind of want to keep it close to your chest until it's a goer.
Yeah, because
that's the reason.
You can screw deals up by being too... I mean, I film everything I do pretty much.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at big sites and you're filming and you're saying, this is what we're going to do, this is the plan, sometimes it can backfire.
Definitely.
We did a video together, actually. You didn't even know we were recording.
Okay, go on. Yeah, I know you're always recording something.
But we had a private meeting,
yep.
And I had videographers around, and you knew they were filming, but then when I published it, you saw it, and you were like, dude, you got to take that down. There's so much confidential stuff in there. What do you think of the way that I just share everything that I'm doing?
I think it's great that you share because you add a lot of value. And the things that you add value to people that they can take away and actually run with and change their lives. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. The only things that I keep to myself mainly are the potential opportunities and too much detail, I suppose, in that sense.
I say most rich people hide, and you're probably one of those rich people that hide.
The quiet, the millionaire next door.
Yeah. Because they do. And I'm not saying this about you. I know with you it's strategic, it's different.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are very successful in property. You know, you're doing $1 million. What did I say, dollar? I've been hanging around with Grant
Cardone. It's because we're going to be expanding to the US.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, you're working on multi-million pound deals.
Yes.
And most people that are doing that, they do hide away. They don't want people to see what they're doing in case people copy them. So I'm really glad that you've come on this.
Yeah, and a lot of the times it's not necessarily copying, I suppose. It's just you're working on a lot of pies. You don't want to lose them. You know, in a year, particularly with the multi-million pound deals, you might get, you know, three or four absolutely juicy ones in a year. They're very few and far between.
Yeah.
And when you get them, you just don't want to mess them up. You just want to try see them all the way through. And that's the only reason.
When did we first... I know we first met and it was in a family kind of environment.
Yes.
But when did you first start taking an interest in, like, what I'm doing on the property side?
Geez, to be honest, you opened my eyes to a different... to a different way of approaching, I suppose, life and career, I suppose, in a way. Because I was generally a traditionalist, I suppose, in the way that I've been raised. Not that it's a bad thing, but... You always think, yeah, I want to do more, but it's always trying to figure out how to do more. So I was working very hard in my career, but actually I realized I can work very hard in my career and still get paid and make money and create generational wealth. And seeing how you were operating and your targets at the time and seeing how it's all manifested through since the whole period I've known you has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, because we've known each other
just rubs off.
Over 5 years. I mean, I've been married 5 years,
five,
so probably
six years. Yeah.
I always respected you as a professional. You know, I saw that you really knew your stuff. And sometimes I'd ask you to look at deals for me and things.
Yeah.
You know, chartered surveyor, been in the industry, what, like 16 years?
That's it.
So you've been
in
property longer than I have.
I lost a lot of hair doing it.
Yeah.
So, but making a lot of people rich.
Right. That's the key, making a lot of people rich.
Exactly.
You've been in property longer than I have. And your expertise in certain aspects to the business are... better than me. Like when it comes to cost management and that side of things, like you're streets ahead of me. But you know, when we met, you might have been better and more knowledgeable in some areas, but then I'm making way more money.
You challenged me, to be honest. I remember after I think we went for a meal as an Indian, this is early on, and you said, Ben, so when are you starting your business, when are you starting your consultants? Because I've been saying, I'm going to start one. And now I was naturally a very risk-averse person. And it was like, actually, Ben, listen, you know a lot of things. You're a safe pair of hands. It's not necessarily taking a risk if you know what you're doing. Because you know what you're doing. You're really doing it for other people. And that was the first time I thought, he's right. I've been doing this for a long time, making a lot of people rich. So what's the point in me just continuing to do that? I might as well get rich as well. Yeah. And make other people rich who I'll be working with. And everybody wins.
Yeah. So. And I know when you were a kid, because now obviously we're family.
Different, yeah.
But like, you wanted to be a basketball player.
Yes.
And dad was like,
oh,
no.
Oh man, geez, I was very, very good at basketball. Don't think of my height. I had the springs in my legs and speed.
Yeah.
And I thought I was headed to the NBA. I genuinely did.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, no, you need to go to school.
Yeah. But our family, like, very much preached this, and it's not bad. And don't get me wrong. I mean, mom and dad, your parents have done really well for themselves.
100%.
You know, and have come down to the UK, got good careers, making good money.
Yes.
Done really, really well for themselves. But the mindset and the mentality is, you know, study really hard and then get a really good job and then save. It's the old school mindset.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very similar. I think a lot of families of culture, like, for example, like with the Asians, with the Africans, it was, oh, you need to go to school, you need to be an engineer, you need to be a doctor, you need to be... And this always seems to be set in stone before you even, you know, get born, I suppose. Mm. And I think as life is evolving with the new generations coming up, there's newer ways to make money, to be entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's
it's the risk-averse thing. Because I remember when we first met and you said, you know, to me, yeah, I'm going to set my own business up soon. And I was like, cool. But then Amanda said, she was like, yeah, he has been saying that for quite some years. Because I was thinking, oh, you're about to set your own business up. Amazing. Like, in the next few weeks. Amanda's like, yeah, he's been saying that for some years. And then like a year after, I'm like, dude.
And do you know what? The thing is that in a way, it took me a little while to get to the point where I was like, right, I'm out of here. And I'm setting up. But it's stood me well being risk averse, because a lot of the projects that we do, particularly when you're dealing with multi-million pounds, you don't really want to be rushing things.
Correct.
Or being too greedy.
Correct.
So in a way, it took a while, but it's been great.
And it's a balance between being conservative of your figures and risk averse, but then at the same time, taking action.
Yes.
And stepping out.
Yeah.
And I think I'm glad, if you weren't risk averse, if you were the same as me, then I probably wouldn't want to do deals with you.
I wouldn't want to do deals with you either, Samuel.
No, because you need a team.
It's a good balance.
And the great thing is, you know, I've learned a lot from you about construction and about cost management and you know, I've learned a lot from you. But it's also been great to kind of pass my entrepreneurship.
Definitely.
But I still,
it's rubbed off.
But I still make the family pay.
You do. You do make the family pay, Samuel.
Yeah. Like, for real.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when, you know, early on, my dad paid to come to the first one, you know, one of the early...
That was like four years ago.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. And then we came on, we paid to come on the course. And I loved the knowledge that you were sharing. So whilst I was in the industry for, you know, 15, 16 years now, at the time, you know how to do it, you know how to deliver, but there's things that you don't know as to how to make money from it for yourself.
Yes.
And those are the things that I definitely learned from you, and they were worth paying for, to be honest. Very enlightening.
Talk to me a little bit about the training, because I know that not just you, but the whole family, like even recently, I think a few months ago, Melissa,
and your little sister. Yeah, and my dad.
Came back, but Melissa came for the first time, and she, you know, advanced training, like She went
straight in.
But she's paid...
She went straight in.
Our little sister has paid thousands of pounds out of her own pocket to go on training that was created by me.
Yes.
And some people might look at that and they might say, why would you not... And obviously, you know, just because I created it, it doesn't mean that I'm always doing all the training, but why would you not just, as chair of the company, step in and let your sister come for free?
Because it's... You know, it's worth the money, basically. And also, I think if you've got skin in the game and you pay something in, you are going to act on it.
Yeah.
That's the big deal.
And I also think, it for me as well, because sometimes people say to me, you know, Samuel, does your training really work? And I'll say, yes, it does.
I think it definitely does.
If it didn't, I wouldn't let my own family
pay for it. To
be
fair, I would probably just tell you when a refund straight away. But it's been, you know, it was that good. And people might think this is crazy because... You know, I'm like, oh, if anybody asks me about property, I say, well, I think you need to go to the crash course.
Yeah.
And they always think, oh, it's just because it's his brother-in-law. No. It's genuinely because I think that the training is amazing.
Yeah.
And it then gets down to your own mindset as to how you're going to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, of course.
After you've done it. Because you can get given all the tools, but if you're just gonna let them sit there and you know and gather rust, yeah. then you will complain.
But even mom and dad have taken like a big career change now.
They have. They've been focusing on.
They have.
In so many
Melissa,
ways.
Little sister. You've now moved. We've now moved to High Wycombe.
We've now, which I probably would have, knowing my old self, I never would have done.
Yeah.
But now with what sort of rubbed off and the principles that I've learned, not just on the crash course, but just through knowing you.
Yeah.
I decided to take the out of character steps, I suppose. Yeah. That are now my character.
That's awesome. So I want to in a minute move on to a little bit about what you're actually doing now and how you're making your money exactly. What kind of deals you're working on?
Yeah.
And I know you know you're making very, very good money. But before we do that, like, talk to me a little bit about your previous experience as a cost manager, chartered surveyor.
Yeah, sure.
Like, what did you learn exactly, and what were you doing in that?
Yeah. So I started off. I was very fortunate. I started off as an intern at a construction company. Working as a trainee, quantity surveyor, went to uni for 4 days a week. Went to uni 1 day a week. Worked for the other four. And it took a little longer. It takes about 5-6 years to get qualified in the degree as QS. But you learn a lot on site from actually, you know, measuring in the trenches, speaking to the bricklayers, seeing how things are put together, how to manage your costs, how to program, that kind of thing, and you soak it all up as you go. And you learn throughout the whole process what makes a good project, what makes a bad project.
Mm.
And because I was a QS, I had to make money for my company, which is obviously great because now I have to make sure I make money for my own company and for my clients as well, that I provide services for. That was the start of the journey.
So you're dealing with builders, project managers, yes. investors, developers, and kind of the middleman, really, making sure everyone's happy,
yeah.
projects run smooth, projects run on time, which is a really stressful job.
It is.
And it's really hard.
Yeah, and when I started, there's two things. There's construction contracting, and then there's consulting.
Yeah.
So I started off as a contractor, and I just had to make the builder money because I was working for the builder.
Yeah.
And then I made the transition into consulting,
yeah.
which is now I'm hand-holding developers' hands and helping them procure sites, build on them, and then obviously let them make sure that they achieve their profits and,
yeah.
their targets for each project.
So doing that, like, did you feel that every year were you learning loads, or does it get to a point after a few years where you kind of know everything and you're repeating?
Yeah, so in terms of every single project's different, and there's up to a point you learn the technical skills, and technical skills can be finite, but there's the soft skills, and there's different pressures with different types of clients, different yeah. types of investors.
Yeah, negotiations.
Yeah, whether it's a public body, whether it's a private entity, how big the deal is, how much money they have, or if it's a really tight project, really tight margins. So they all got different pressures around them. So each one, you get to a point where you know a lot, but then it just comes down to how do you cope with the pressure, how you handle it, and how you deliver the projects. And I think that's the key after a good
and you
good
see
number of
you know
years.
Your CV, you've got a good CV. I mean, you've worked with some, I don't know how confidential it is, but you work with some very big clients.
I have, yeah. Well, it's not so bad now because obviously I'm running my own business. I was going to say whatever the hell I want to within reason. But I've worked with some awesome clients and
do you mind naming
awesome
a few?
Developers. Yeah, I've worked with Land Securities, who are one of the one of the largest property developers and securities businesses, basically, in terms of property in the UK. I've worked with British Land. I've done some work on Amazon projects.
Big.
Literally holding their hand and delivering projects. I've worked with developers called Muse.
I remember thinking, when you were doing what you were doing, I remember thinking, me and Ben together could make some serious, serious money. But my problem with you was always that the mindset of being too, so it's like, oh, one day I'm going to do my own business. I probably couldn't work with that because I'm so fast paced.
You are, yeah.
I probably couldn't work with someone that was just such a talker when it comes to business. So I was always a bit like, but I really respected you as a professional. I'd ask you to look at projects and stuff. And then I know you did some training, and you also started reading a lot. You read Grant Cardone's books.
I've read a lot of, I've read a lot of books.
And then you
particularly
kind of,
your mindset.
But I felt you changed a little. You came to the crash course. You did a bit of investments in residential. You bought that little house. What was that in Leeds?
In Leeds, yeah.
Which went well.
We've actually kept that one.
How's that going?
Because we're obviously reinvesting the others in the big deals.
What did you pay for that?
We paid 135 grand.
$135,000. Yeah. Now it's worth
I think it's like 170, 180.
Okay. So it's gone up a little bit.
It's the cash flow. That's the king.
How much are you getting rent?
Just over £1,000. 1150, I think it is.
But 1150, but that is guaranteed rent.
Yes.
You've got no bills, no maintenance, nothing, because it's, you put someone in there.
We've got a really good tenant in there.
Yeah, assisted living.
A really good tenant.
But you kind of almost took what we do now on the commercial stuff.
It was that thinking. It was exactly that thinking.
Like, people don't get that. Let's do that. People don't get that. Because when you go into commercial property, you don't want to be dealing with loads of tenants, with loads of offices, you just want one tenant. If you've got a massive big student block, you want to get the university to rent it off you. You don't want to get all the students in it.
100%.
But people don't think like that in residential, but you almost took commercial mindset, brought that into your residential property, which is cool. And the thing that really attracted me to want to work with you was you've got the experience, you're really good at what you do, but then when your mindset started shifting, you did a bit of residential, came to the crash course, did some training, and then what happened, talk to me about Saudi Arabia, because that was when I was like, I can't let this happen.
Yeah, so with the residential thing, I was thinking, this is great, but we could 10x this and just do it on commercial properties, rather than doing the bike-lets and HMOs and stuff. And it was all because of the principles that I'd been exposed to. One of the things you taught me was
a big deal is just as difficult as a small deal.
Exactly.
So I'd see you making millions, not for yourself, but for your clients. And I'd be thinking, geez, like the client isn't doing anything. You're doing everything.
And you don't go to bed at night, you know. With the Saudi Arabia thing, I thought, geez, you know what? I'm going to make as much money as I possibly can over a 3-4 year period. And then come and start doing it back here for myself, as in developing. Because I knew I could do it. I had all the tool sets. And I just thought, you know, if I get good, you know, £750,000, I can start doing the big deals and just recycling, my own cash. Until you called and said, hey, man, there's plenty of people willing to invest with you here. I'll start with myself, which is you. So,
Because I'm thinking, because I kind of earmarked you a little bit for deals, because I was getting, at this time I was getting into big deals. I bought the castle, and I was often asking you for advice, and I was thinking, this is, you know, you were really helpful. And then when you literally were about to sign a contract to move and leave your family at home to move to Saudi Arabia, like not for good but for potentially 3-4 years, I thought, number one, I'm gonna miss Ben as a friend.
I miss you too.
As a friend, as a brother, and as someone I can get advice from and bounce stuff off. But number two, your mindset changed so much, because before you were kind of like, you know, not comfortable job, comfortable. But now I'm going to be in the desert. And I just thought, you seem to be a different person.
I was ready to get uncomfortable. I was just ready to be uncomfortable.
The fire had come.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, if the fire's come, I'd rather do some business together.
Yes.
So that's when we spoke about, look, let's... why don't we do joint ventures together?
Yep.
I've got the money to put into the deals. Yep. You've got the expertise to oversee and everything. You can take a profit share, and let's start doing deals together. And since then, we've been working on some fabulous projects.
It's been an amazing, amazing combination.
Yeah.
You know, us guys. And geez, it's been great so far. And I think it's going to be even greater, you know, as the years go by. Yeah, really looking forward to it.
And we set up a company together.
We did.
Which is called Mac Leeds.
Yep. We've looked that up, macleeds.co.uk.
Macleeds.co.uk. But you're Ben Machakanyanga, I'm Samuel Leeds. Yes. So we came together, Mac Leeds.
Yeah.
And what does Mac Leeds do?
So Mac Leeds is a property development vehicle for large deals. And we only focus on the big stuff. So
I'll bring stuff to you and you'll literally be like, dude, come on. Like, it's like £250,000, little commercial, resi to commercial. Like,
get that out of my face, like, man. Get that out of my face.
If it's got six zeros, you might be interested.
Potentially.
Yeah, yeah. But that's good, because the thing is, you could spend all of your time, we could joint venture together on a deal that was $500,000 with $100,000 profit. Yeah. And you're thinking, I don't want to spend all my time on a small deal.
Yeah, it needs to make sense. It's all relative, because as you hit the nail on the head earlier, where you said the small deals take just as much effort as the big deals.
Yeah.
But if you know what you're doing, you can do it. You know, there's no problem with that. And now with where we're at, we're comfortable with taking on the big deals because we know what we're doing.
Yeah. But the thing is, for me, I've worked my way up to that.
Yes.
You went in working for other people doing big deals. I started with small deals. I've worked my way up to do big deals.
Yes.
You've helped me a little bit, but now, I mean, we've just completed on We've just built a bunch of houses.
Yes, we did. Yep.
You've been helping on. You've also got involved with the castle.
Got involved with the castle.
Because everyone was saying to me, what's happening about the castle? What's happening with that castle? And I was thinking, there's so much.
Just watch the space is all I can say.
Watch this space.
You just have to be patient.
End result of the castle.
Things are looking good.
How are you feeling about the end result of the castle?
Extremely confident.
That was kind of a gut feeling.
I think it's one of those. A lot of people would have walked away because they're scared from the outside.
Yeah.
But knowing what you're like, you're a bit of a maverick.
Yeah, but also
that's where the rewards are, isn't it?
Yeah, but also I'm smart and I can see if a deal's good or not.
Yes.
You know, but you've been whipping things up to speed with that.
Yeah, because we've literally had so many problems. Definitely.
But we expect nothing. We manage them.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the problems aren't necessarily an issue.
Yeah.
You just have to know how to manage the problems and manage the risk. If you know how to do, because there's always going to be risks, there's always going to be problems, but it's, do you have the skills and the expertise to be able to manage it?
Yeah.
And that's what it was. A lot of people would have shied away. You took it on, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. And we look at deals a lot. Like, we were out just last week.
Yes.
Looking at some...
Yeah, we had a full day out in Stoke. And every time we go to Stoke, it's always wet and rainy and windy. And
yeah.
But it was a good day because we looked at some really good sites. And we're due to go out again.
Yeah, when you're doing well in property as well, because sometimes people say to me, you know, how much do you earn in property? How much do you earn in property? And it's like, listen, my property business just gives me a wage. Any money above that just goes straight back into buying more property.
Yes.
So what do I make in property? It depends on what deals I did that year.
100%.
Like this year, exactly, probably will be a very, very profitable year.
Well, put it this way. I'm earning a good number. Well, that's through my deals.
But you're through the deals. You pay yourself
yeah.
from the property business. You pay yourself a six-figure salary, and that's just a wage. But regardless of how well the business does, you know, you're not going to suddenly be like, you know what, I'm going to spend £1 million on a holiday. Like,
no, you don't. Well, it comes down to that thing, undercover secret millionaires.
What do you mean by that?
No, I'm saying as in, you know, I don't splash out on like £1 million holidays, like you're saying.
You live a comfortable life.
Yeah, just modest.
Send your kids to good school, live in High Wycombe, but not. But sometimes people say to me, you know, why are you only wearing that outfit? You know, what? That's a poor person's outfit. Just because I'm wearing something, but I'm like, you know why? Because I've
invested all the money.
Not even because of that. But because I don't have to.
No, that's true.
I don't have to prove anything to anyone.
No,
like. I'm just quite happy wearing whatever I want to wear. Like, I might be wearing nice clothes today. Tomorrow, I might just... I'm just cool, man. I'm not even...
See, that's always been a baseline with you, though. But then I know you personally. And that's just always been you.
What's that?
Just chilled out, baseline. Just a guy.
I'm not trying to impress anybody.
Just a guy,
I'm making a lot of money in property. We don't really touch stuff unless we can make £1 million.
No.
Often, like, and depending on the deal, but like generally speaking, at least pull all of our money out and then rent it out on a large scale.
A good number. Yes,
you know, so it's just like I don't have to impress anybody. I'm happy making my money. The only reason I do this YouTube channel and teach people and have the training company is because I always vowed if I became successful, I wasn't going to hide away. If I became successful, I was going to show others exactly what I did and help other people do it. Because I don't think competitively, I think collaboratively. Same with you. I'm not thinking, I'm not going to teach my family because then they'll get all the deals. Forget that. I'll teach my family and we can do deals together. Definitely. And how I am with my family, with you, is exactly... Like, I encourage the family.
You're the same with everybody.
I'm the same with everyone.
It's a baseline, yeah.
I'm the same with everyone.
It's baseline.
You know, so what's your plans then over the next 12 months? Yeah.
Well, put it this way. This morning... The reason, I know we were a little bit late, and one part of the reason was I got a couple of really good sites that I've looked at. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I know what I'm doing. Tomorrow now, I'm going to be heading towards Hemel Hempstead, looking at, you know, 2-3 properties.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much now, because again, I don't like people snipering my...
Yes.
But yeah, I think the two of these three are... most likely going to be what we're working on.
Really? Yeah. I'm excited. Definitely. I can't wait to see these off camera. I do everything on camera. I get that strategically you don't want to put everything on camera.
Don't worry, the time will come.
The time will come. That's awesome. What's it been like working with me so far over the last sort of 6 months or however long?
Sam was a nightmare.
Terrible. I can see that you're my brother now.
I'm just joking. It's been great.
Although Amanda did warn you to be careful.
Yeah, Amanda rang me and... just before I made it.
Amanda, by the phone, doesn't know is my wife, your sister.
Yeah, my sister. Yeah. She's like, oh, Ben, just thought I'd let you know, Sam was really different when he's at work, you know, like, he's happy and smiley when we're in the house and everything, but once he gets to work, he's
stone cold killer.
yeah, I can be pretty blunt.
Yeah, and I was like, no, it's okay. I've worked with plenty of difficult people in my life. I'm sure I'll be all right. I've lost all my hair working with tough people. But yeah, it's just business.
Because I guess if you're managing my projects,
yeah.
And Amanda's probably thinking like, oh, you know, but man, I think I'm pretty easy to work with.
You are very easy to work with, to be honest.
And so, you're great to work with as well. And you've had to make some difficult calls, and you've had to make some difficult decisions.
It's part of the game. Yeah. Development is part of the game.
And also managing people's expectations.
Listen, if everything was easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I've worked hard to get to where I am now. I'm just maximizing and reaping the rewards of all the hard work and expertise that I have, making sure that, you know, returns are made, you know, for my clients, which is one of you're the main one, I suppose, at the moment, for Mac Leads and for all the other people that we're working on with as well, and working with some good people. And yeah, that's what Mac Leads is. We take the hassle out from the investors. Yeah. We make the hard calls. We make sure everything is done.
So if people are doing like development stuff, or they're looking at doing sort of like building houses from scratch or doing big conversions, that's where your company comes in and just manages the whole thing and takes the headache away, which is awesome.
And but I can tell you, there is a lot of headache because you do it, like you say, you have to handle a lot of rubbish from a lot of people sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's part of parcel being a pro.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing.
It is. And you've got to know what you're doing. And that's why I teach people. You know, I can't teach it, go on.
Yeah, it's that's what the knowledge you need to have the knowledge.
Yeah,
so that's why I admire what you do, because
and most of the stuff I focus on teaching is just how to make money.
Yes,
and I think that's what you saw, because you had the skills. A lot of people do though. There's surveyors and brokers and solicitors. They know all about the subject, but they just don't know how to monetize it and actually make money.
Yeah.
So it's great to see you bringing your skills alive, actually making good money.
Yeah.
It's been awesome working with you, and I'm excited to work with you throughout the next few decades.
Definitely.
Watch this space. So
definitely.
You're awesome, man. Respect. 100%.
Thanks, Samuel.